Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish On Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at BeatOn300. You can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. It's been a very long time since I've been able to grace this microphone, and I feel very blessed to be back sitting here bringing Notre Dame football to you guys, as this is the opening week of the season. We are the first game of the season. The boys travel to Dublin, Ireland to go play against the Navy Midshipmen, which is a rivalry game, a game that has some serious history behind it, a game that we look forward to playing every year. And no matter what point they come at on the schedule, it's always a tough game because you know you're going to play against that triple option. They're not going to pass the ball a lot. It's going to be a busy day for the linebackers and the front seven. But again, week zero, college football is back. We are back. And it's just a great time to be a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. It's the beginning of the Sam Hartman era. We're only going to get one season with him. But it's a season that, if done correctly, based upon the schedule, if we find ourselves at 12-0 in December, there is no way they can deny us a spot in the college football playoff. But obviously, that's a long way ahead of us. You have to get to 12-0 first, or even maybe 11-1. And that journey starts a very long way from South Bend, Indiana. Like I said, Dublin, Ireland, kickoff's at 11, or yeah, I want to say kickoff is at 11:30 Central Standard Time. No, kickoff is at 1:30 Central Standard Time, so 2:30 for our Indiana Notre Dame fans. But the reason why it's been a while since I've been off the microphone, traditionally we'll give you guys a couple off-season interviews and, you know, stuff going on with players from the past, whether they're playing in the USFL, XFL, or NFL. But one of the main reasons why I became a Notre Dame fan is thanks to my mother. And she may not have actually been a Notre Dame fan at the time, but if you know anything about me and my history becoming a Notre Dame fan, it's from watching the movie Rudy. And Rudy, for those of you that know, is just a little guy. You know, he was the underdog on his team, and someone that was the underdog on his team all the way to playing for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, which is something that my mom and I always wanted for me, but obviously, I did not have the same talent or know-it-all to be a football player at Notre Dame, but there's no easy way to say this, but my mom is no longer with us. And my mom is someone that would watch the games with me every weekend. I took my, you know, I had the pleasure of taking my mom to Notre Dame twice, got her, you know, out there to see the Grotto. She saw North Carolina and Boston College in successive years, both wins, but just a really tough time for me. And for my family, and obviously you guys know last year before the Clemson game, we lost my dog. So it's just been a very tough time for me. And I guess you could say the Notre Dame side of my family, but my mom was a radio DJ in college and someone that, you know, graced her crowd with her presence on the mic. And that's something that she's always, always loved for me to do. So it was a no-brainer. Obviously, I had to take time for me, take time off of the show, but I am here and I am back, and I look forward to spending my Saturdays irrationally mad about my Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and I know she wouldn't want to have it any other way. But to get back to the meat and potato of things, man, we start this Saturday in a week zero clash. We come into the season ranked number 13. Like, I don't really hate this rating. It's fine. Usually Notre Dame's a top 10 team, but the beginning season rankings really mean nothing. It's just aesthetic. I almost messed up even trying to say it, but it's just so the graphic looks good on ESPN. None of these rankings actually mean anything. Let's go out there and prove who we are every Saturday. So week one against, we'll just go through the whole schedule and then we'll come back and go through the Navy game piece by piece. But schedule wise, let's go through it. So schedule opens up, like I said, this week against Navy. We have the home opener next Saturday at 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern against Tennessee State. And for those of you that don't know, this will be our first all-time matchup against Tennessee State. And they're led by head coach Eddie George, you know, former Tennessee Titan legend, former Ohio State legend. So it's going to be a tough battle from Tennessee State, but obviously, you know, apples to oranges. We are Notre Dame. They are Tennessee State. It'll be a great game for them to come. It is a pay game, but they will definitely not be leaving South Bend with a win. After the official week one in the home opener, week two of the college football season, we travel to North Carolina State, an 11 a.m. clash. Should be probably the first, I would say, true test. I think that, yeah, Navy will be a test. It's week one, week zero. Everybody is vulnerable. But NC State, the last few years, has continued to progress and become a better team under Dave Doran. So I would be interesting to see which state of play they're in this year. Now, they did lose their quarterback in Devin Leary. He transferred to Kentucky. So it will be a little bit of a different offensive attack, but still a team that should present an interesting battle for us in week two of the season. Following that, we're back at home against Central Michigan. Central Michigan is a team that I have the pleasure of seeing year in and year out as a guy that covers Northern Illinois in the MAC. And Central Michigan's always a tough team. They are coached by Jim McElwain, who used to coach at Florida, coached Colorado State, a guy that has been around college football for a long time. I promise you, he will have a great game plan for that game that involves them playing boa constrictor with the ball, holding onto it as long as they can, and just pounding the rock and hoping they can play good enough defense, right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't see this team getting out the first four games of this season any less than 4-0. But the fun begins September 23rd, back at South Bend. We get our revenge game against Ohio State. And this is the game of the season up to this point, right? We haven't played against any other ranked opponents. Ohio State is ranked number 3 in the preseason poll. And this is a very pivotal season for Ohio State. The last 2 years, they haven't made the college football playoff. Ryan Day has lost to Michigan both of those years. This is a do-or-die year for Ryan Day and his team. And that's without even mentioning that they lost C.J. Stroud. They do not have the number 2 overall pick manning the quarterback position for them. They obviously still have a very talented roster led by wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., who I saw was even, you know, people were – radio and talk show hosts were even talking about this guy being a Heisman candidate. And I can't remember the last time a wide receiver won the Heisman. So interesting game, obviously primetime slot. I will not have a voice for the post game on that one, as I won't for most of these games, just because Saturdays and Sundays are all or nothing for me. But I am very excited for that game. We obviously played Ohio State last season, lost to them week one, and then completely came into shape after losing that game and a couple other stinkers along the way. But I think Marcus Freeman will learn from his mistakes last year, and I think that they have a way better chance winning this game at home against Ohio State with Sam Hartman as the quarterback, with a solidified college football superstar at quarterback. So I'm excited to see that one. But following Ohio State, we travel to Duke. So Duke has been one of those teams that, yeah, they're not known for their football prowess. They are a basketball school, obviously. Coach K had his reign there. They didn't have the greatest of seasons last season. But when you think of Duke, you think of three things. You think of academics, you think of basketball, and you think of tobacco because it's North Carolina. Never football. But the football team has gotten a lot better under David Cutcliffe. And I do believe that after Ohio State, and it is a week after, it's not like there's a bye week in between, this isn't a humongous trap spot for us, and we have to stay on our P's and Q's in order to leave this away game against Duke with a victory. It'll be a lot closer than people and the Lions anticipate. Following Duke, we are on the road again. We do have a bye week in between that, and we will be traveling to Louisville. So Louisville, another great team to match up against that, yeah, maybe isn't always ranked when we play them, but when I look back at the games that we've played against Louisville in my life, they're always exciting games. They usually come down to the wire, and Louisville has gotten the best of us. I wouldn't say more often than not, but I can remember losses against Louisville during my life, which doesn't sit well with me. So, again, maybe they'll be ranked at that time. Maybe they won't. But a team that is in a little bit of a rebuild, obviously they had Malik Cunningham at quarterback for the last few seasons in the post-Lamar Jackson era, and he has now moved on to the New England Patriots. So it'll be interesting to see how this team reshapes and retools going into this season. But I can anticipate this should be a high-scoring game and a game that we should be able to come away with a win in. Again, another clash of Titans, a rivalry game, a trophy game. The battle for the Jewel Shillelagh follows that week, October 14th, as Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner from last season, and USC come to town. Again, similar thing as Ohio State, right? Like, top 10 matchup, you're at home, a team that got the better of us last year, but we have an opportunity to right our wrongs and win this game. Find a way to win that football game in front of the Irish faithful in South Bend in the middle of October. And if we win that game, there is zero chance on this earth that we're not a top three, top four team. But like I said at the top of the show, this is a season that our work is cut out for us. This is a schedule that is built for champions. If you can find a way to navigate this schedule week in and week out and just go 1-0 each week, it doesn't matter what our past history is in the college football playoff or in these high-profile bowl games, they will simply have to respect us. It doesn't matter that we play in a conference or not. If you have Ohio State, USC, and Clemson on your schedule at the beginning of the season, and you handle all the business you're supposed to, not only will those teams potentially not be in the college football playoff, but you will be in the college football playoff. And I think with the one-year hired gun deal in Sam Hartman, we stunted the growth of the younger quarterbacks in the system. Obviously, we lost Tyler Buckner to Alabama. Don't know how you don't do well at Notre Dame and can start at Alabama, but that's another conversation for another day. Right now, and the time is now, we have the all-time leading quarterback in passing yards and passing touchdowns in ACC history. We have a schedule that plays against ACC teams predominantly. We play six of them every year. What better guy to have at quarterback for those games? And then you know Sam Hartman has played in those high-profile games. The biggest one that comes to mind is that game against Clemson last year that was going on during the Aaron Judge home run hunt, where they kept just ESPN just kept cutting the Clemson-Wake Forest game, which there was a touchdown every 2 seconds, so I could see Aaron Judge get walked. And that one doesn't sit well with me, but they beat the dog shit out of Clemson last year, and it was at Notre Dame. For me, it was the Benzo game. It was a very emotional game for me, for my dog. But I can't help but think that we are not going to maybe we won't beat them like we did last year. It won't be 28-0 before they can blink. But I do think we have a stronger team. Clemson has been on the downturn in terms of their standards. Dabo Swinney absolutely hates the NIL. He absolutely hates college athletes. And, yeah, he's just not in a good shape right now. So find a way to beat Clemson at Clemson in Death Valley, a place that we haven't won. I can remember the Deshaun Kaiser game. I can remember all these battles from the mid-2010 era with Brian Kelly. Let's make this our rivalry. Let's take two in a row. Let's find a way to win at Clemson on November 4th. That's not even after USC. So I skipped. I got so excited seeing that we have three top 10 matchups that I skipped over Pitt. But we play Pitt at home. That game's on October 28th. That's a 2:30 start. Pitt is a team that has been kind of in that top 25 ranking at the end of the season. They've had good quarterback play over the last few years with Kenny Pickett. And obviously last year they had Kadon Slovis. They've had good wide receivers and Jordan Addison, who eventually transferred to USC. But this is a team that maybe isn't a top 10 quality team, but a team that usually finishes the season around 7-5, 8-4, maybe 9-3, and a team that we have had tough battles with over the years. Similar to what I said with Louisville, I can remember games that we've lost to Pitt. I can remember games that we've won against Pitt throughout my life. So I think it's one of those games that you just have to, again, on the heels of a top 10 matchup and the week before a top 10 matchup, similar to Duke, this is a very, very trap game spot, and you have to stay on your P's and Q's, and you have to just go into South Bend with the attitude that you got to do what you got to do to get to that next week, which is against Clemson. And you guys know what I said about Clemson. It goes without being said. It is a team that is in the upper echelon of college football, right? That if you look at college football by the tier system, tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four, tier five, all the way down to the teams that go 0-12, Clemson is in that tier that we want to be in. And over the last 30 years, maybe all time we're in tier one just based off of the all time win percentage and national championships and stuff like that. But in my lifetime, which is the last 29, we'll just slap an extra year, call it 30 years on it. We're not. We're in that tier two. We're in that tier three. Wins against teams like Ohio State, USC, and Clemson, and a trip to the college football playoff has me even saying, like, we are in a tier one position if they're able to do something with it. Because they have made the college football playoff a couple times in the era. They continue to have these 10-win seasons. Now, obviously, last season was a transition year. They weren't able to get it done. But I still like to think that with the way they handled business in the bowl game and the way they just dealt with adversity, I remember vividly saying that, yeah, maybe we didn't do what we needed to do on paper from before the season, but I was still proud of the way the team finished the season and the way that they rallied behind Marcus Freeman. So I think those are all things to keep in mind. The momentum that they finished the season with, why can't we carry that momentum into the beginning of this season? But after Clemson, another ACC battle, and this is one that's going to be near and dear to Sam Hartman. So this is going to be senior day. This is November 18th. And yeah, maybe it's the perfect team to play on senior day for Sam Hartman because it's against his former team, a team that he manned for 5 years against Wake Forest at home. And it will be an emotional day for Sam. Nonetheless, I almost wished it was his last regular season game because what better way to finish the regular season off against the team that you've played for the last 5 years and the team that you're currently trying to will to a college football playoff. But that is the second to last week of the season. And that's going to be a very, very high scoring affair. Wake Forest plays in these games that it just becomes a track meet. And maybe it'll be a little bit different without Sam Hartman under center, but from me watching Wake Forest over the last few years, and if you followed my bets on social media, you'll know that Wake is not a forest. And there's actually moments, luckily, that my old Twitter account is canceled, that I've shunned Sam Hartman. But that's just my dumb gambling brain. For my college football team, he is more than adamant enough to play quarterback. And I'm just excited to see that on his senior day for us, he'll get to battle against his boys that he's played alongside for the last 5 years with his new team. So that's going to be a great matchup. Hopefully a chance to get the 11th win on the season, but you never know. And we do have a hell of a gauntlet for a schedule. The final week of the season, though, is another rivalry game, a game that, you know, we play against Stanford. Stanford's a team that we've played year in and year out. A team that, again, similar to what I've said, like with Louisville and with Pittsburgh, is a team that I've seen us win games against and a team that I've seen us lose games against. Stanford's in a very interesting position right now just because of the new landscape of college football. The Pac-12 doesn't exist. A lot has happened in the landscape of college football since we've talked, and all these Pac-12 teams are leaving to go to the Big 12, they're leaving to go to the Big 10, and they're leaving the Pac-12 high and dry because the Pac-12 does not have the media deal that for the funding suffices for them to want to stay in that conference. So you're seeing the juggernauts of this conference leave, the USC's, the UCLA's. All these big teams in the Pac-12 have already found their new home. Now, obviously, the Pac-12 still exists for this season, but Stanford has been on the downturn for a better part of the last few seasons. And I really just don't, you know, I know we lost to Stanford last season, but I just don't see it happening again this year. And I think that it's the final week of the season. It's either going to be us fighting for a spot in the college football playoff or us fighting for a spot in a New Year's Six bowl game. As I turn on ESPN Plus and there's a picture of Sam Hartman at quarterback playing for Missouri as one of the thumbnails for a video. So maybe when I'm done here recording, I'll go watch up on our good old boy Sammy. But I can definitely say that throughout his career, I've watched a lot of his games, and
I'm just excited to say that, like, for the first time since like a DeShone Kizer or like a Brady Quinn, we have a quarterback that is not only respected by Notre Dame, but a quarterback that is respected by the majority of college football. And now my way too early record prediction that isn't biased at all is 12-0. Come find me November 25th when it comes true. But a more realistic and, you know, if this happens, I'm still happy with it. Record is find a way to get to 10 wins. If you get to 10 wins, I think that depending on where those wins come, as long as, say, two of those three losses are from the aforementioned USC, Clemson, Ohio State, I don't think too much is held against us. But again, I want to see this team go on a run. I want to see Marcus Freeman in his second year shock the world. I want to see a team that knew their identity towards the end of the season shake things up a little bit, right? Because at the end of the year last year, it was, we're going to run the football, we're going to pound the rock with Audric Estime and Chris Tyree, and we're going to run the ball with Tyler Buchner with the QB option and the QB draws, and we're going to play good defense, right? And this year, we can have more of a balanced attack. We can lean on Sam Hartman in those pressure moments where you need a 3rd and 8 and a 3rd and 9 where we simply couldn't get it done last year. It's going to be hilarious seeing Tyler Buchner on 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9 with Alabama. Like, good luck. That's fine. Not going to talk about college kids like that too much, but Sam Hartman's like, he's like 24. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not like a 19-year-old kid that we're handing the keys to a Ferrari to. He had time that I think he was a redshirt or maybe the COVID year he got an extra year of eligibility. But I also know he had time off at the beginning of last season because he had a heart condition and he wasn't able to play. So for this kid to even be back out on the field, I said he's not a kid, he's an adult. So for this guy to get back out on the field after his heart condition and put up the numbers that he did and do what he did for Wake Forest last year is phenomenal. And for him to be my quarterback this year, I'll run through a goddamn brick wall. But I just hope that the lights and the pressure of Notre Dame aren't too much for him, because it's a little bit different at Wake Forest. Wake Forest, again, similar thing to Duke, not really known for their football success over the years. Their most, I would say, prominent athlete that they've been known for throughout their time as an athletic institution is Chris Paul, and he's a basketball player. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with Sam Hartman. If he's good enough to get us to 12-0, is he in the conversation for the Heisman? Like, all these are valuable questions that need to be asked, but I just look forward to tuning in every Saturday and just seeing what this team gets better at. The blue gold game, I know it was a long time ago. I know it was back in the spring, but the blue gold game was phenomenal. The offense looked great, and Tyler Buchner looked great for, or didn't look great at all for the other side, but he used it to transfer to Alabama. And for us, it was our first real look at Sam Hartman as the quarterback at Notre Dame. And they just put up so many points, and it was a great day in South Bend. I do think that there may be a little bit of like a grace period, or at the beginning of the season, it may not be all roses. It may not be a quick start necessarily on Saturday. I hope it is. I mean, we're 20-point favorites, so you would think that if Notre Dame plays the way they should have no problem covering that spread. But 20 points is a lot of points, and you know, that's just – you know, I'll be looking at a team total, let's say. I'm not going to be looking to lay 20 points in a week one matchup in a different country. So right now it is 95-4 or 95.3 to 4.7% based upon ESPN analytics, the FPI. And it is a 20.5-point spread with an over under of 50.5. And it's at Aviva Stadium. Navy is a team, like I said at the top of the hour, it's an interesting matchup every year. You know, you get a team that comes in and runs that triple option. They're not running a pro style or a spread offense. You're going to see them pass anywhere from 5 to a maximum of 15 times in this game. And a maximum is like worst case scenario, they're down early, they're chasing points the entire afternoon, and they have to pass the ball. If this team doesn't have to pass the ball, they simply will refuse to do so, and they will just try to come in, pound the rock, kill the clock, and play good defense. That's how Navy plays football. They've played football for that. They've played football like that my whole life. They've played football like that, you know, the generation before us, his whole life, and even like our grandparents' generation. That's just who Navy is. And it's kind of rude to the fans of Ireland that they would make the, you know, these fans that aren't football fans firsthand, you know, maybe they like soccer or they like rugby or they like cricket or something else, be subjected to such a monotonous and repetitive offense. But to each zone, it is a rivalry game. It is a game that means a lot to both teams. And I still think that it will be a great football game for those that do attend. And it just should be a good opportunity for us to get off on the right foot. We have two very easy winnable games to start the season, obviously in Navy and then in a group of five, or in a FCS school, not even a group of five. And I just think that these should be used as games that you fine tune things. Maybe run that play that, well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. Keep stuff vanilla. Don't get too caught up in trying to run the stuff that you want to run against the Ohio States and the Clemsons and the USCs of the world. There should be some sort of window dressing and stuff that gets kept off the play sheet for these first 2 weeks of the season, because I think that if you look at the schedule for what it is of the entire season, the most winnable games are three out of the first four games in Central Michigan, Navy, and Tennessee State. Under no circumstance can we lose any of those games if we want to be taken seriously this season. It just can't happen. If you lose in the other games, like, yeah, it sucks. Obviously, you don't want to lose any game. It seriously bolsters your opportunity to get in the college football playoff just based off the amount of teams that get in. And you have to now watch what every other team is doing. If you just win your game and do what's in front of you, then the rest takes care of itself with the schedule that we have set up for ourselves. From an offensive standpoint, I'd like to see, let's say around 31 points. At least get to the 30-point mark. Like I said, it's not going to be a too extensive day from the offense or the defense. I think that everything will be kept relatively vanilla. Everything will be quick reads, quick handoffs, screen passes, dump off, stuff like that. Like, I don't think that we're going to see the full Sam Hartman experience. I mean, we'll probably see it against Tennessee State, but for like two quarters, because there's zero chance in hell that he's going to be playing a full game against Tennessee State if we do what we're supposed to do. But at Navy, it's a respect thing. And like, the possessions are going to be few and far to come by if we can't get off the field on defense, right? If they're able to even get first downs and extend drives, those Navy drives are going to be 4, 5, 6 minutes. So there has to be an emphasis on points per possession in this game, because the possessions are going to be limited. I think that if you look at it for what it is, Navy always tries to control the possession game. And if they're able to get first downs, yeah, maybe they won't always end the drive in the end zone. Maybe there will be some field goals or some punts along the way. You would hope so. But they are taking the play clock down. They, you know, as early as the first quarter, it's not like they're running no huddle. They run the option, you know. And if they stay in bounds, the clock is always running. It's like they like that 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I can only imagine with a full off season to prepare for us that the game may be, you know, a little bit tighter than a 3-touchdown spread. You never know with Navy. So my keys to the game this week, in a game that should be anywhere from, I'd say like a 31-10 to maybe like a 31-20 game. I don't know how I feel about taking a full game over with Navy, because I do think that the defense will have gotten a little bit better. And I think that if we can control the turnover margin, like force some fumbles, get some tackles for loss, stuff like that, we can limit their points. But based on the clock, right, I think it it's a game that may struggle to get to the over. And now I say that, but Sam Hartman was a quarterback that was like an over quarterback god last year. But I just think it's going to be a little bit different. Maybe some jet lag. You're over in Dublin. You're playing somewhere that you haven't played before. You have a brand new quarterback and a game that there's just going to be so many rushes. There's going to be run, 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 punt, run, 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 punt. And I just have a hard time believing that we're able to run away with this game the way we should. Like, it's not going to be no 45-10 or 52-10. But I do think that Notre Dame does get over the 30-point threshold, and I think that they hold them under 20. So I'd be happy with anywhere from 31-10 to 31-17. Be a lot happier if they did the 31-10, because that means for the, you know, the people that do end up putting their faith in Notre Dame to cover, that they did that for them. But in my eyes, a win is a win. And for me, it's going to be a very emotional Saturday, as it, you know, it's the first Notre Dame game in my life without my mom. So fine, as she would say, and I'm going to say it how she always said it every week before a game, but Irish by 1,000. Obviously, 31 or 21 and 14 all suffice. But metaphorically speaking, the Irish are going to go out there and win this one by 1,000. I think that from Sam Hartman, I'd like to see at least 200 yards passing. This is a guy that can tote the rock too. He can run the football. So I'll say 250 yards of total offense and 2 touchdowns. Protect the football. No turnovers. This is a game, your first game as the quarterback of Notre Dame football. Leave a great first impressions. Our fans are assholes. I love you all. I am included. I am also asshole. I am included in the asshole category. So just make sure that we're doing the things we're supposed to do. Go out there, take care of business. And I think that Sam Hartman is going to be my offensive key player of the game going into the game. Obviously, you guys know I leaned on the running backs a lot last year, but I think this is the most important game of the season for him, as it's his first. Obviously, he is a very experienced college quarterback, but I want him to go out there and leave his best foot forward. And to be honest, like, we haven't even talked about future markets, but I'll talk about some of the future markets for Notre Dame that I'm interested in, and that will be in my bet slip for this season. And then we'll go over on tap bets later in the week. But I believe that he controls the destiny of this team, and I could not be more excited to go into battle and to go into war for this season than with him under center. On the defensive side of the ball, it's interesting because Notre Dame wasn't our normal defensive selves last year, but I do think there's always room for improvement. And I do think that we are led greatly by our secondary and Jim Thorpe Award watch list, Benjamin Morrison. I mean, this guy last year was playing wide receiver on defense. He was just playing catch with quarterbacks. Like, this kid was coming down with a pick a week. Now, I know he obviously didn't have a pick a week because he'd had to have like 14 by the end of the season, but he ended up with 6 on the season. He looked phenomenal. Loved the way that he played in order to help that defense that was struggling at times and that was reeling. And I just think that he's a guy that you want to keep an eye out for the Thorpe Award. He's a guy that can lead our secondary and a guy that can turn a game on his head, right? A guy that can get into the mind of quarterbacks. He won't have as big of an impact this week just because there won't be as many passes. So this is a great week for our secondary. Actually, you know what? That's the perfect transition. This is the best week for our secondary to work on open space tackling, making sure that they're able to track players down, whether it be a running back or a quarterback, and just making sure that you keep things in front of you, right? Because there's going to be games this season against teams like USC and against teams like Clemson that we may not win the physical battle up front, or Ohio State, but we have to be able to have our tracking on point. We have to be able to open field tackle. And if you can stop a team from being able to hurt you running the football and you make them one-dimensional, then that's when a guy like Benjamin Morrison can come in and get his interceptions. And that's when a guy like Jordan Batelho can pin his ears back and go back there and get a sack. Or Howard Cross can, you know, bust through the middle of that defense and just absolutely smash an unsuspecting quarterback. There are so many different opportunities for a very young, and I would say a little bit more of an inexperienced defense for a Notre Dame standard to make a splash, because, you know, we lose our captain in Isaiah Foskey to the next level. We lose a couple other guys to the NFL draft, as we always do. But defense is something that we're going to have to lean on this year, right? Because these Sam Hartman games, you got him under center. The scoring isn't going to be an issue. I think we're going to have one of the better offenses that we've seen in Notre Dame history here over the last 10, 20 years. And it's all going to be based upon the quarterback play, but we also have quality backs in Chris Tyree and Audric Estime. I think that you just have to look at Notre Dame for what their identity has been for so many years. And if you play good defense and you run the football and you PTR, you pound the rock, you know, I'll play the Newt Rockne speech at the end from Rudy, but I mean, not much can be done. You know what I'm saying? Like, teams that play good defense and run the football well usually perform well in any game, because that travels. And we play in the Midwest. Towards the end of the season, obviously, we're going to have crap weather and we're going to have snow games and games where the wind is not pertinent to a great passing game. And I think that honing in on that running game early and being able to not only stop the run, but being able to run the ball successfully is going to bring us to that next level as a team, because we know what we're going to get from Sam Hartman. He is a very successful quarterback, a guy that we can, you know, maybe we'll see a 4,000 yard passer this year, but I know for sure as long as he stays healthy, he's getting 3,000. Like, he already has a 3,000 right now, and we haven't even opened up for week zero. But this team, if they can find a way to have that balanced attack and the defense can just be sufficient enough, we actually don't need the defense to lead us this year. There is zero chance on this earth why we can't be in the college football playoff or a New Year's Six bowl game. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say on the defensive side for this weekend, I'm going to go Jordan Botello. I'm going to say defensive end is it's actually the most important position on the field against an option team. I'm sure most of our fans know what an option entails, but for those of you that don't know, the defensive end is always the guy that makes the read call on that play. So they're either chasing after the quarterback or going after the running back. They are the person that the quarterback makes their decision based off of, right? So Jordan Botello, first game, potentially starting, taking over for Isaiah Foskey, a guy that has looked great for us as an underclassman throughout the years, always makes plays. I'm excited to see him get his opportunity, and what better opportunity than against the Navy midshipmen in Ireland with the entire country watching, because we are a standalone game. No other game is playing at the time that we're playing. So I'm going offensively, I'm going Sam Hartman. Defensively, I am going with Jordan Botello. For my score prediction, I'm going to say, I'll be modest, but I'll say 31 to 10. I'm going to stick with that one. I think that they'll have an opportunity to cover, and they should. And it's week zero. It's weird. We're vulnerable, but I just don't see any scenario that we end up losing this game. Now, I'm going to go ahead and hop on over to Bet Rivers real quick and take a look at some of the NCAA futures. Obviously, I am betting from an Illinois, I'm from Illinois. So if I am placing a bet on them to win the national title, the odds may be a little bit different because the Illinois schools are not included in the odds for me. But I am looking on Bet Rivers right now, which is a sponsor for OnTap Sports. And if you sign up with Bet Rivers with the code OnTap, you get up to a $250 deposit match when you sign up. But Notre Dame is listed as plus 5,000 to win the national championship. So that means if you put a $100 bet on them to win, you would bring back $5,000 or $5,100, because you obviously get your initial stake back. But hell, even a $10 bet brings home $500. So you don't have to put a lot of money on Notre Dame to have a little bit of extra fun with this team, because I do think that at the end of the day, they will be in the conversation for the college football playoff. As it stands, they say 1, 2, 3. As it stands, they have the 14th best odds in the nation to win the college football playoff. So good value for the Heisman Trophy, though, right? So this is where I think it gets fun, right? Heisman Trophy is a award that is traditionally won by a quarterback. Now, it's not always won by a quarterback, but over my lifetime, it's usually won by a quarterback. And this is the first time in a long time that I can sit here at the beginning of the season and say that my quarterback, if he does what he's supposed to do, should be in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy. And the odds reflect that. Sam Hartman's sitting at plus 2,500 to win the Heisman Trophy at the beginning of the season. And this goes hand in hand, right? If Notre Dame is a college football playoff team, right, Sam Hartman is in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And at plus 2,500, again, a great value bet, even if you sprinkle $5 or $10 on. Think about it like this. You put $5 on it, $10 on it, you come back, Sam Hartman wins the Heisman. There's a couple extra Christmas gifts for the kids or for the significant other that you can knock off just because you believed in your guy. So I definitely I like Sam Hartman, his odds at plus 2,500. And he's the 13th best odds in the country. So really, really, really like that. Obviously, we're not in a conference, so there is no conference stuff. But let me see if they have a win total. Yeah, so they have a win total listed for us to make the playoffs. Oh, this is actually a really good bet. I don't hate this one at all either, at least value-wise. But and obviously, bet responsibly. Don't bet above your means. And get with us at OnTap Bets, because weekly we're going to be doing a weekly like college football show, NFL show, and just get you guys in tune with what we're looking at week in and week out. Last season, I finished the season at 51%, and the season before, closer to 59% on my picks. And all you really need to do is be 54% to be profitable. Now, last season was not my best work, but we were right around the middle. And I look forward to building on that and having a better season this season. But lifetime, we are in the green in college football since we have been putting out picks for you guys to all tail. But to make the playoffs is plus 525. So if you think Notre Dame is good enough to get to the college football playoff, but you don't think they're good enough to maybe beat the likes of Georgia or Alabama or whoever else may be in the college football playoff, I think plus 525 is a good enough value and a safety blanket to emotionally hedge the inevitable 30-point drubbing that we always receive in the college football playoff, right? But plus 525 is enough for me to bite on that. And then this is actually my favorite bet of the bunch, right? So the win total for Notre Dame is set at 8.5 wins. So if you remember when we went through the schedule, we have 3 top 10 battles, right? That's basically them saying that, yeah, we should beat who we're going to beat, but we're going to lose all 3 of those games. 8.5 is minus 125, so it's 100.25, so 125 to win 100. And then under 8.5 is plus 100. You got serious cojones if you're laying the 8.5. I got Notre Dame getting to, at the minimum, 10 wins. I think no matter which way you look at it, they're going to get a win against one of those teams that they're not supposed to. And you always have to include the inevitable letdown spot that Notre Dame puts us through year in and year out. Last year it was Marshall. Nobody looked at that schedule at the beginning of the year and thought on this earth that we would lose to Marshall. What do? Lose to Marshall. So you have to keep your wits at you, and you have to know that there could be a trap game or a game that we're not supposed to lose somewhere along the schedule. But I just don't see it. I like the over at 8.5. That's something that I would bet a little bit more on. Obviously, the odds are a lot different, so you have to bet more to win more. But I am way more confident in that 8.5 than I am in the other ones. Those are just more value plays and fun plays to have for a thing that you're going to be rooting for anyways, because we are Notre Dame fans. So with that being said, like I said, offensive player of the game going into week one, Sam Hartman. Defensive player of the game, edge rusher Jordan Bettelho. For score prediction, I have 31-10. And like I said, ceiling 12-0, basement 10-2. And
just get ready for Notre Dame football, because we don't have to wait anymore. The schedule makers did us justice by giving us week zero, so we get it a week before all our other counterparts and all our other fans. There are 7 games for college football this Saturday, kicking off with us on NBC. And I just couldn't be more excited to get back into the thick of things, to get back to talking Notre Dame football week in and week out, and just the grind of the 12-week season and trying to find a way to get back to the college football playoff. Other than that, I really don't have anything for you guys. Again, I do apologize for just the absence of a show or the tweets or just keeping up with things. I do appreciate you all for understanding and respecting what I'm going through. But with that being said, we look forward to being back with you week in and week out covering this team. Nothing else for you guys. Irish by 1,000 this week, and go Irish.